Hello, Peas. It's Kate here, all on my own. And I want to tell you about my new podcast. My new podcast is called Honestly, I'm Lonely. Hopefully it's out on all platforms. It's definitely out on Spotify. It's 2 episodes a week. On Tuesdays, I chat to an awesome human about being lonely. And on Thursday, I chat with my partner, who's a psychologist, about the effects of loneliness or how loneliness makes us feel. She chats from a clinical perspective and I just chat from a chatting perspective. So she's laughing because she's sitting here beside me. I think that you're really going to enjoy it. I'd just love you to give it a listen and hopefully we can continue our journey as podcasters together.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders, past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. Today's podcast is about soul parenting of micro-prems.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word. It's not suitable for children. You have to put your AirPods, earbuds, headphones, whatever.
Whatever you want.
Whatever. Or play it loud and proud. We don't mind. It's up to you. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Here we are.
Back in lockdown
back
in Melbourne.
Back in lockdown. Yep.
We sound quite upbeat.
We're excited because we're still able to work, yes. So we can see each other face to face.
Yes, it's exciting to get out.
And yeah, we don't see anybody because the kids are being remotely learning.
They're back, people. Sparkling remote principal hose. Year 8 coordinator is back.
Back, yes. Oh. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, the year 8 coordinator, I think last semester she was better. That's all I'm going to say. I think this time she's really not as good.
This principal's resigned. I think, you know, has left the job, but just resigned as in, oh, well.
Yeah,
we just got to do what we got to do.
We're trodden down this time.
It's like I've been in the job for 30 years.
It is. Yep. It really, really is. So it's, you know, ordinary, I would describe myself. Someone messaged into Instagram and they said, aren't you glad you're happy to be mediocre? And
yeah.
I said, yes.
We are living our best life at mediocre land.
Yeah, yep. It's mediocre school here. But, you know, I did go to Baker's Delight and buy finger buns. Yep. And Buzz and Woody love finger buns. Oh. So I felt like, look at that canteen lady.
Do you know some of them you can order the box and you can make the finger buns yourself?
No.
Yes. Oh, some people putting
on
Facebook.
Activity.
Yes, it's an activity.
Do they give you the icing?
So certain Baker's Delights, you can order them and you'll get the box with all these finger buns and then all the different, like the pink icing, the coconut, the,
hundreds and thousands.
Yep.
Oh,
I know. So anyway, I'll tag you. I know. I was nearly ready to order one, and I was like, can't be bothered driving it. It's probably out of my postcode.
Probably is out of the postcode. I do know a few people that have been stopped.
Yep.
Yeah. Especially people that are like coming home at night from something.
Oh.
Been stopped. Why are you doing this? Been stopped exercising. Mm. Like if you're riding your bike
around. That's not me.
Yep. That wasn't me either.
But I went for a walk this morning because tomorrow the masks are in compulsory mask, yes. While you walk. So I just thought I'm just going to
breathe it in. So when you're listening to us, everyone will be wearing a mask in Melbourne.
In Melbourne, yeah. They're
pretty much, I reckon 80% of people around me are wearing them anyway.
Already, yeah.
So I've got one hanging up in the car. I've got a pile at the front door. Yep. I've got them at work.
Yep.
Anyway, it's just, you know, whatever.
Here we are. We have three microphones today.
Yes, very exciting.
And this is one of my friends, and I'm very pleased to have her. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, peas. My name's Nicole. I am a sole parent of a micro-prem, hint, hint, from Mandy's intro. And I met Mandy at school, actually. Our kids were at the same school.
I think we actually met at Parenthood, didn't we, where I was working?
I remember talking to you now. Yes.
Yes,
you were that really crazy friendly retailer.
I think you said I need to buy a bed and my son's got cerebral palsy. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm your person.
Yeah, and then we talked schools. Yes. And you're like, wow, we're at this school. Whoa.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Here we are all these years
here
later.
Here we are.
I know. It's just so, been all a bit of a blur.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll ask our questions. Go for it.
Okay, so the first question that we ask is, do you have a song or a band or music that pumps you up or gets you through the downtime?
Well, there was a song actually when Lolly Legs was just born. He was eventually ended up at Royal Children's.
Yep.
And my brother-in-law works in the muso industry, and he was working with Augie March, and they dedicated a song to him that night, which is called There's No Such Place.
Oh.
So have a listen.
Oh, it still Nicole.
Makes me tear. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's a beautiful ballad.
Oh.
And then probably a little bit of the finger, the powder finger these days.
Oh, yeah.
Just because who would have thought? Even more so in coronavirus.
Yes.
It's always relevant, that song, isn't it?
It is.
Because, you know, life never takes you where you think it's going.
Yeah. That's the truth.
No. So those two.
Oh, they're good songs.
What about awards? Did you win any awards in school?
You know, I'm too old for awards. We didn't really have them.
Yes.
So friends had them in their private schools when I went through school. Bless the government schools.
Yes.
I mean, we did athletics carnivals and all had chestfuls of ribbons, but no awards.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Same as well.
You're in an award-free zone here. So.
I know. We just give them ourselves.
Yeah, well, that's right. And why are you a pea?
Well, yes, I have a lovely son that we'll call Lolly Legs. And he was born at 23 weeks, nearly 24, just right on the cusp. And he has a diagnosis of cerebral palsy and deafness. And then so many other, I don't even go through them anymore. Yeah. Now it's just like blah, 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 blah. They're the main two that I feel impact his life in the biggest way. So they're the two I focus on.
So 23 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Tell us.
All right,
about
let's go
you.
To this pregnancy and find out.
Let's talk.
I know.
Tell us as much as you want.
Let's go. All right. Well, so as a sole parent, I used IVF.
Right.
And life was so different back then. I had a very big crazy corporate job.
Yep.
Traveled the world. Mm. Like I'd be booking in for a transfer at IVF and going straight out to the airport and flying to Shanghai. And, you know, life was all 5-star hotels and business class. It was wonderful. And I remember the transfer that worked. Again, I was on the way to the airport, but only to Queensland. And I did the pregnancy test up there. And I was like, oh, my God, it's actually worked. This is real.
How many did you do?
I did 3. So I was really lucky. It was pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I think, so Lolly Legs is now 11 years old. Yeah. And back then there was not many people that I knew that were doing it by themselves.
Yes.
But which is really weird about what you put out to the universe, even in my early 20s, I always said, you know what, I'm going to have a kid. That's the one thing I'm going to do, regardless of what happens in life. Certainly didn't want them early, never imagined a big white wedding, so there you go, that was lucky.
Yeah.
But I always thought, no, I need to be a mum.
Yeah.
That's got to be done. So as I was, what do they call you, a geriatric pregnancy, to the geriatric stage, I was like, right, I better get on this horse. So, yeah, look, I was really fortunate. I actually found IVF relatively easy, other than, you know, no one likes the actual sticking to the needles and all the stuff that goes with it. But I wasn't all over the shop. I was, as I said, traveling the world, working a big job, had lots of responsibility.
Yep.
It was like, it was okay for me.
Yep.
It worked.
Yep.
And then I, about 15 weeks, I started bleeding. And when I say started bleeding, I could have flooded your floor.
Right.
Oh, goodness.
Like, just like hemorrhaging. Mm. And I had children that were photographed as much as your boys, Kate, I suggest. And every week I'd go in, I'd have another bleed. They're like, oh, you've lost it. And there's this little heartbeat on the screen, still going, still going.
So he
just stuck. I was diagnosed with adenomyosis at the start of IVF, and I've since found out that can make it hard to get pregnant and carry.
And what is that?
It's like the cousin of endometriosis.
Okay.
Right.
Probably the poor cousin, though.
Okay.
Not the fancy one. And so that, but post having him, my obstetrician actually said that it was due to scar tissue on my uterus. So, you know, we probably all had fibroids and things like that removed.
Yes.
And unfortunately, where the placenta landed, half of it was great and half of it was just one big blood clot.
Right.
So I just consistently bled.
Oh, so traumatic.
Yeah, it was, and I just kept thinking I'd lost him, I'd lost him. And then at 22 weeks and a couple of days, I started going into labour. I didn't know that. I just thought, oh, I've been so sore in these pains.
Oh.
But I had a big bleed, took myself to Monash, and they said, oh, you're not going anywhere. You're dilated.
Oh, my gosh.
So the short version was, I think I spent 6 nights. And isn't it ironic? Labour only kicked in at night, right? So for it's nearly a week, I just got no sleep. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then eventually my body went, it's either you or him.
Yeah.
And we're going to expel him.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. There was a lot of faces in that room when it happened. And I got taken to the labour ward on the Friday night. He came like around midnight on the Saturday night, and I'd been begging, please bring my bed. So I don't know if you guys ever remember, but labour wards, the beds are like slats, right? You know, you're not there for a long time. They're very uncomfortable. And I was just exhausted already.
I was like,
please bring my bed from the room. And they finally agreed to. And I was like, thank you, thank you. And then my water broke all over it. And I went, I was only worried about their bed. I'm so sorry about your bed.
I know.
I'm really sorry.
All those silly things.
So insane how we think.
I mean, who cares?
I know.
So look, yeah, he, you know, ironically, he was so small. He came pretty quickly. I think it was about 5 pushes and out he came. I didn't, so no Caesar. He was born naturally.
Wow.
He did need to be resuscitated, unfortunately. Yeah. He wasn't breathing. That didn't take too long. So they were fairly positive that that was good. We got him back. And actually something else we share, Mandy, I then had to have a manual extraction.
Yes. Ow.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Wow.
Really hurt.
Oh, horrible, horrible thing. So eventually I got to pop my head into NICU. I saw him briefly. It's about 3 a.m. There's no beds. By the time we got there, they had no beds. So he was being transferred to the Mercy.
Oh, my Lord.
And I think I can't even remember getting back to my room.
Yeah. No, I was going to ask, was someone with you?
My mum and my sister.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just woke up the next morning going,
what happened?
And I was in that room. You know, it's not the good news room. Yeah. There's no room for a baby in this room.
Yeah.
It's just this cupboard. And you're going, I think I had a baby.
Oh, Nicole.
So that was it. He was here.
Mm. But not even at Monash.
No, not with me. Oh, so he was 690 grams.
Oh.
Yeah,
and is that big for a 23-weeker?
Well, you know what? He actually was.
Because it feels like it.
It was a good size. Just about to turn 24.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. You know,
every day.
It really
counts.
Does. I know.
Every
I know.
Day.
It actually was. He was probably pushing more to the size of 25.
Yes.
And ironically, when the placenta came out, like the doctor just went to me, I can't believe this kid's even survived.
Oh,
like it was just half of it was just total mank.
Wow.
And then half was obviously feeding him really well because
yes.
he was growing.
Yes.
Maybe touch wood, he didn't get to full term. I might have given birth to a
watermelon.
I'm not
yes.
sure. So
big baby.
Yeah. But so I got myself out of bed that day and I got across to the Mercy and I saw him in NICU.
No.
I had to go back to Monash and spend the night
Oh, my goodness.
At Monash.
Oh.
And then the Mercy rang up and said, yep, we've got you a room.
Great.
So I was allowed one night at the Mercy.
Gee, how generous.
I know.
So you had to go back to Monash, have a night there,
yep.
Then leave there, go to the Mercy and have one night.
But I did get a really fancy pants private room. So I was like, this is great.
Yeah, but you could have had that for a while.
Then, of course, I developed an infection and I got really sick that one night and, bless it, I got put on IV antibiotics for
so you have to stay.
So I could stay.
Yay.
So I felt crap, but I could stay.
Yes.
And at that point.
That makes a huge difference. You'd rather be sick and stay.
Leaving your baby.
Yep.
I just such a tiny, vulnerable baby, right?
Yep. It's weird.
So
they're translucent. Yes. The eyes are still fuchsia.
Tell us all about
it. It's like just a rash, really.
Yeah.
I'm cute and you're my rash. But, you know, you look like a rat and the nurses are like, no, he's a really cute baby. And I'm like, really?
Well, they see them all. So
So, look, at the time, he was the smallest, the youngest in NICU, but then there's a little girl that came in and she was only 500 grams. She was a tiny little poppet. So they were the two littlies, and then, you know, you'd walk through special care into NICU and you'd look at these special care babies going,
babies.
Yeah, like, what are they here for? Look at the size of them, for goodness sake, you know.
This is the Prem Prejudice,
people. This is the Prem Prejudice, yep.
And fair enough.
Fair enough.
It was, look, I just felt, I think, actually I resonated, Kate, when you were talking about this. I was just grateful that he was here and that he'd survived. Because I thought I was losing him every week.
Yes.
And even every day now when he drives me up the wall, I still stop and think, I'm so grateful I had this experience and then I've got you. And it just it just changes your thinking.
Doesn't it?
You know, it's just a different
And I thought it would end.
Way of thinking.
But Buzz and Woody are nearly 15.
No.
And I still every day think,
Yes.
I do. I just can't.
Yeah. They're
just I think
amazing.
You must really condition yourself. I'm not going to get this outcome.
Yeah, maybe
and even
that's
though
what
that's
it
only
is.
7 months of my life, 15 years, I still can't believe they're here.
No, look, I think maybe that's it, Kate, because then you have the NICU journey, which I think on day six, I think I was told he wouldn't survive.
Mm. Gosh.
So.
Yeah.
I think day seven, you'll love this, ladies. I actually had him baptized.
Fair
enough.
Not godly.
Doesn't
had
matter.
Had to go to Sunday school, but, you know, not godly. But I just felt like he has to be acknowledged.
Yes.
And I'm not sure by who.
Doesn't matter.
I do get that. Doing your mummying duty.
Can you do?
So we had I had a little baptism in NICU.
Aww.
And then 48 hours later, the head of NICU walked past me and said, you know, if he keeps this up, he's at risk of getting well.
Oh my God.
I really liked him.
Most
he was ace.
Doctors,
just,
I know.
Yeah. Him and I were just on the same wavelength.
No, they're funny.
They are funny.
Yeah. And I went, I know. Because he was on the really chunky, loud ventilator. Can't think of the name of it.
Yep.
You know, he had everything. So the surgeon, the professor from the Children's Hospital came out. And they decided that he had neck and they put a tube into his stomach, which was palliative.
Oh, wow.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah.
But then I did know later in the day he wasn't meant to live.
Right.
And when we saw the prof months later at RCH, he went, what are you doing here? You're not meant to be here. That was palliative. And you go, yeah, I know. Look at him.
Out.
Look at him.
Some babies just defy those odds.
I know.
They look, just, and there's, you know. They just do.
There's no rhyme or reason, is
there?
No,
there isn't.
In our family, we've lost 22 weekers.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why I got so lucky.
Nah. Beautiful baby.
So then he had to move hospitals again. So then because he'd had this neck and palliative and whatnot, eventually they decided, well, you've survived that. But we couldn't figure out what was going on and he couldn't feed. So
just explain what that neck is.
Neck is necrotizing and in the bowel.
Yes.
So basically it means the bowel can perforate.
Yep.
And you normally come out of neck with a stoma.
Yep.
Mm.
Again, my kid, no stoma.
Amazing.
The bowel, we did end up having bowel surgery, but the bowel had sort of repaired and they did a little bit of work on adhesions and I don't know why we got so lucky.
Mm. No.
I just feel blessed.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Were you expressing what happened with the...
Yes. God, bodies are amazing.
Yes. Aren't they?
Aren't they just?
Yep.
So my milk came in by the time I got to the Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I laughed. Who was one of you ladies was who called yourself the cow?
Oh, that's
me.
You
had so much milk. Kate. Yeah. Kate the cow.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, I listened to that and I would sit there again. Envy.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the room and you're all trying to pump. And there's women just like, you know, gallons
of
liters.
Yep.
And I'd be there getting 50 mil.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
But I did and I persevered. And I'm really glad I did because he was stop-starting feeding. So I think we went down to the children's hospital. It was actually on Good Friday we arrived.
Mm.
So the Good Friday appeal was on.
Would have been
very
busy.
Oh, it was ace because he got a yummy chocolate bunny and I got to eat that.
Yeah.
But it was really busy. And then suddenly your kid's in this NETS ambulance heading down to there.
Yes.
And so they didn't have a room for me. I was feeding. They had a room come up within a couple of days in the parents' wing where you could stay.
Yeah.
So the tick of, because I was breastfeeding, they gave me a room.
Yes,
they let breastfeeding mums stay. And so I was like, well, I've got to keep this up.
Yes.
This is a caper.
Well, fair enough.
Fair enough.
Because I'm right here with my kid, you know. And the breastfeeding was really hard. It was just pumping.
Pumping the whole
pumping,
time.
Pumping. Yep. And because of the neck, he was operated on at about 33 weeks. So he was, you know, up to about 1.5 kilos by then. We had to get him to a certain size to have that surgery. And he didn't come, so it came out without a stoma, but kept stop-starting food. So this little pissy little amount of 50 mil a day or every time, it lasted ages.
Yeah. It was enough.
Because he started, this will crack you up, he started on 0.5 mil.
Yes. Oh.
That was his feed.
Yes, half a mil. Look at that next time, people in a syringe.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. 0.5 mil. And then they'd get him up to 1 mil and his tummy would blow up again and there'd be bile and we'd have to stop. So that went on for a couple of months until we got him to a size and he had the surgery. And then post-surgery we started the feeds again and he had gone awfully, like he was having liver trouble and jaundice from the TPN they were feeding him and that wasn't good. So really luckily the milk kicked in and I ended up feeding him to, it was about 7 months.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then I just went, I can't pump anymore. And I was still getting pissy. I think the most I ever got was maybe 100 mil later.
Yeah.
It was just an hour of
that
trying to feed him.
Hard pumping. Yes.
And then he's on 2 hour feeds and you're back on again.
Yes.
And it was like.
Oh, you do not have to make excuses.
No.
Any tiny drop of breast milk that baby gets is breastfed as far as I'm concerned. And if you can't do that, that doesn't matter either.
That's right.
Exactly.
Fed
Look,
is fed.
You know,
fed
what a woman.
Fed is
he
best.
Probably got 3 or 4 months all up in that
awesome.
Time. And I go, awesome. That's
and
you have the best you can do.
The trauma.
The best I could do.
The trauma. Your trauma, his trauma, your family trauma. Oh, come on. You're amazing.
How cool is the body though?
How cool.
Yeah.
I know. Like even at 23 weeks, it was
like, I knew what to do.
I'm going to make some milk. Yeah.
So that was pretty incredible.
I assume you just went on mat leave. Like,
well, I did. Yes, I had to ring up and, like, you know, this job of mine that I had, it just all stopped.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in hospital. I won't be back. And obviously, when I first told them, I said, I'm in hospital. I'm going to sit here for 12 weeks till I have this
kid. Yes, of course. Yes.
And then it was like, oh, dun-dun.
No.
So I did. I went straight on to maternity leave.
Yeah.
And I was originally only planning 6 months.
Yeah.
And I ended up taking 15 months.
Yeah.
And then I went back 3 months a week.
Right.
Yeah. So he also had a second surgery on his heart at the RCH as well. So that was just a PDA ligation cut, but horrible. They cut him from front to back.
He's your little baby.
Yeah. He's
and
got
how
some
many
awful
weeks
scars.
Was he then? Or
they did that one first, actually, Kate, because, you know, all the lovely beep, beep, beeps of NICU.
Yes.
He was just all over the shop with the heart duct being open. Mm. So again, amazing bodies that normally close when you're born.
Yep.
He was bottoming it out, you know, Brady cut. He was just all over the shop. So we had to do that. Now I reckon he would have been 28 weeks maybe when he had that done.
So little.
And then
how did you cope with those surgeries?
Did you
have people with you?
I did.
When you've got a little baby like that, do you go in while they're being put under? Or
no,
what?
So they do it in NICU. They don't even take, they're so small, they don't even take them to an operation operating room. So they do it in NICU and they just sort of, you know,
here
put
we
the
go.
Sheets up and off heart you surgery. Go.
Yeah.
And it was pretty, the heart surgery one was quicker than the bowel, but, you know, it, they just watch the minutes ticking. The bowel surgery, there was a chance he wouldn't survive the surgery. The heart one, I didn't feel he was as at risk as much, except that he was having an anaesthetic and he was a tiny little popper, still on oxygen. But the heart one was quicker. But, you know, the surgeons left, it's little things, isn't it? The surgeons left stitches in him.
Yeah.
That weren't dissolving.
Oh, no,
and so
no,
then
no,
we got
no,
back
no,
to the Mercy,
no, no,
finally
no.
down the track, and we're in the fat farm.
Yeah.
And they're doing a check on him and they find the stitches and he has to have another anesthetic to pull the bloody stitches out.
No.
And you're just thinking, really? So, look, I know I'm not, the RCH was great.
No, no, of course.
Yeah, but that was
it's
a big stuff.
It's an just accident,
trauma.
But it's
you
so
know,
much
like
trauma.
I still remember the doctor who has scarred his hand from trying to put tubes in him. And,
yeah.
You know, and they were learning. I get it. But it was
Not on my child.
Not on my baby, yeah.
No. Yeah, that's how you feel,
that
isn't
is
it?
How
yeah.
you feel.
Yeah. I remember talking to this lovely nurse and I was sitting there watching her do the cares in floods of tears and she came over and she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "You've just treated my baby like a slab of meat."
Yes.
Because
there
you
are
were talking
those nurses.
To all the other nurses.
Yeah.
You weren't engaging with him in his isolette.
Yeah.
And he's not a piece of meat.
No.
If that was a full-term baby, you would have been like, "Goo, you gaga, hi, kid."
Yes.
But because it's a pram who's got nothing to say, you just, you know, and to her credit, she really listened and she said, like probably what you're doing for people out there too, "Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Thank you for giving me that feedback."
Yeah,
oh,
that's
well,
nice.
Because
you know,
she was fantastic.
Good professional.
Yep, yep.
But it's every day there's
something. 100 times
and somebody,
a day.
At your kid. And it's just like he still doesn't like his feet being touched.
Of course.
I swear that's from heel pricks.
Of course.
Like
absolutely.
Four a day.
Yeah.
So, two surgeries later and he got through them.
And
I don't
so
know,
then
guys.
How long was he at the Royal Children's before
we
he moved back to Mercy?
Got sent back to the Mercy for the fat farm. So he came home on his due date, believe it or not.
Wow, that's amazing.
Got home at 40 weeks. I know, it is incredible for such a pram.
Yes.
And he went to the fat farm for about 4 weeks. So he must have been about 36 weeks when
right,
we left.
Yes.
RCH.
Yeah.
And I remember, maybe he had his bowel surgery at 33. Anyway, just before the bowel surgery, again, a gorgeous nurse said, "You need to hold him." So I hadn't had a cuddle.
At all?
No, no.
What?
He was too sick.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know what's weird? Like people say, "Oh, my God," but I'm like, he shouldn't have been here.
Yeah, yes. I know. You're absolutely right.
Yes. Who am I to risk this
demand
jumble
something.
Of everything?
Yes. Unbelievable.
Selfishly.
Yeah, of course. No, of course.
Not judging others, by the way, but it was just for me in my head,
him,
I was really calm about I'm not even meant to be looking at you.
We're
going to
keep him alive.
And here you are.
Yes, yes.
And in fact, like, I'm not, he spent his life those early days on antibiotics. He was so sick, guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not doing anything to mess with this.
Yes.
But before the bowel surgery, a nurse said, "You need to have a cuddle."
Yes.
So
oh,
I had,
my gosh.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Were you just overcome?
I think, you know what I can remember? His little fingers drumming on me here.
Oh.
Just that sensation.
Just touching you, Because those little fingers do move all the time, don't they?
Yeah. Mm. And he was tiny. He was just tiny. But those little fingers drumming on my chest.
Yeah.
And we probably had kangaroo cuddle for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, was it kangaroo?
Yeah, we just did kangaroo cuddle for an hour and a half. Mm. Because then post-surgery, he was like a little sumo.
Yeah.
And he was in a coma. They had to knock him out into a coma again and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So I have to say, that was probably the third time I've seen him put in a coma by then. And I hate that. I hate. But he was so big and horrible after the bowel surgery as well. And
then bloated.
Swollen, bloated from all the steroids and stuff in him.
Yeah.
And they said, "You won't recognise him." And you just go, yeah. And then you go, "Whose kid is that?" He was huge. Mm. So then it's like took a couple of weeks to get rid of all the fluid.
Yeah.
And recover. The bowel surgery was probably worse because I don't think they told me what the recovery it was really bad.
Okay.
I don't know why I didn't expect it. I think
you don't know. And you'd been through heart surgery, so you probably think, well, that's got to be worse, you know.
Yeah. I think I was so happy we didn't have a stoma.
Yeah,
and
okay.
that when he got in, things were so much better than what we thought.
Yeah.
And he was here still. He'd made it through the surgery.
Yes, that's right.
But I remember sitting there with, the head. We were lucky we got the head doctors in the NICUs at both.
Well, not lucky. You needed him.
Yeah.
I needed him.
Well, yeah, because I think with RCH, they do a lot of babies that need surgery.
Right. Yes.
But they don't have a lot of micro-prems.
Right.
No.
So when we got to RCH, they didn't have any nappies that would fit him because they don't have babies that small.
Yeah.
So there was little parts of that that were different. They look after surgical. They're probably very good after his surgery.
Yes. It's where you want to be, but yeah.
And he was probably about 34 weeks and I looked at the head of NICU there and I went, I'm going to get a baby to take home.
Oh.
He said,
that's a long time. 11 weeks.
You are. Hey, we were home and hosed from there.
And had you I'm very crying. Had you bought things? Did you have a little pram or a baby seat?
Nothing.
No,
nothing. I think had I bought anything? I might have bought a couple of little outfits overseas. Yeah. Because I knew I was having a boy.
Yeah.
Certainly couldn't wait to find that out.
Yeah.
So I might have bought a couple of outfits, but I had nothing. I remember leaving. Oh, so I had to leave RCH one day, Mandy, because I had to go and have a D&C over Monash from the infection.
Yep.
When I got to Mercy, after a couple of days, and then I got sent home. Then a week later, it flared up again, and I was back in emergency at Mercy. So then they decided, you know, you've got to have a D&C. There's still bits in there. And I remember by then we were down at Children's, and I think I got my sister, I got someone to come and babysit Lolly Legs, you know, as if it matters when he's in an isolate. But,
come and
watch my kid.
Yes.
And I'll go back over to Monash, which Mum took me, and I had the D&C, and I spent the night in my house, my house, and then came back to the hospital. And it was just, Mum, I've got nothing.
No.
I haven't got a cot. I haven't got a pram.
No.
I haven't got anything. And so probably just after the 34-week conversation, I was like, I've got to get some stuff. I need shit. I need a car seat.
Yeah.
Yes.
I need a pram to put you in.
Yes.
So I scrambled in those few weeks.
Yeah.
And as I said, we did get sent back to the Mercy, which was lovely to go back to where we started with the doctors that initially knew him and the nurses. They were like, oh, my God, we can't believe he's
back.
Here.
A little getting fat.
And he was in the fat farm, which was a lovely stage.
Yeah,
you know, that's just about doing all the normal baby stuff.
That's right.
So it's like, oh, yeah, this is cool. He did come home on oxygen, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, we got off pretty scot-free, but he came home on oxygen and, you know, we just had the tubes running through the house and, you know, made that work and the little canister under the pram. But those sort of things I knew. So buying a pram, I was like, okay, I've got to be able to carry an oxygen bottle and I've got to do this and that.
Yep.
So, we just made it happen. Probably not a lot of thought went into that stuff.
No, but it did it for me either. I was like, those cuts will do.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have curtains. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, put a blanket up. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, we obsess about stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah. No. That's it. I didn't need to decorate a nursery.
I can remember.
It was fine.
Being at the scan when my beautiful Dr. Andrew said, you need to buy a cot. And we both cried because he was like, I think they're going to make it. Like,
I know. And you don't want to preempt anything anyway because I really thought I was going to lose him.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Thought better not
many,
to have a
many
house
weeks.
Full of stuff.
Yeah, imagine coming home and all of you beautiful women who've done that.
Yes, I know.
We just send you our love because,
that's thinking of you, that would be terrible.
Tough.
So, then we found ourselves home.
Yeah.
I just want to acknowledge that you could have your own podcast.
Yes,
you say that
really
to all
could.
Our guests.
You really could.
So I don't want to hurry you along anything because you've got so much to say. To teach our world.
Yeah.
So,
that's fine.
It's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story.
Oh, you can't talk about this. That's the thing. That we feel grateful 11 and 15 years later, but we still feel sad.
Of course.
Like, how can you not this? And something happened to you that are you none of your friends this happened to?
No.
It's not like a typical parenting of pregnancy, you know?
Yeah.
So
did you meet any people in the Mercy or the Children's? Did you find a friend somewhere or did you just stay away from the annoying 31-weekers like me? What did you used to think? Did you used to walk past them bitching about stuff and think,
well, you know, yeah, up? There was some ladies that you would just be like, oh my God, I wish that yes. was my only problem. Yes. And I think when you were in the when we were in the fight for your life part,
yes.
that was fairly insular.
Yes.
By the time we came back to the Mercy, I probably could have,
yeah.
like, talked to more parents, but I was a bit done. I think I was a bit spat out by then. Yeah. And I didn't have a lot to give.
You were traumatised.
No. By the way, and I just wanted to get my kid and they
would have
only hospital. Their
babies would have only been 2 weeks old or a week. Like, you know, you'd already done this huge thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think had you been in that one NICU in the one hospital with the same people for the whole time.
Yeah.
That might have been different.
But we went through three hospitals and it just was, right, we're packing our bags again and we're on the move.
Yep.
Totally.
So, no, not really from the hospitals situation.
I don't remember anyone from hospital.
No, I don't either.
And I think actually when the boys, when Woody was in Monash NICU, they said to me, one of the nurses said, this isn't a place to talk to other parents.
Wow.
Yeah, because everyone's going through a really profoundly different journey. Yeah, well, that's how it felt
in those expressing
that. And I'm sure they said it to you, do not look at any other babies.
Yes, definitely do not look at
any. Do not look at other babies. So, of course, you're avoiding eye contact with people because they're sitting right next to their baby. So you just sit and you look at your baby and you don't look anywhere else.
Yeah.
So
I think it was about privacy as well.
It is. And you don't know.
You don't know what anyone's walking. Nope. And when we arrived at, so we arrived at, as I said, RCH on a Good Friday, and on the Sunday the little girl opposite us did pass.
Yes.
And, you know, so things like that, you just.
No.
It's not a happy place.
No, it's not a happy place.
And it's
intensive care ward.
Yeah. But it's intensive care.
You know how terrified we are at the moment in Victoria where the world is facing this pandemic and.
Yeah.
Intensive care is a scary place. So these are tiny babies.
Oh, it's funny, Kate. Last time I was speaking to Shane, he said something about, oh, you'd be right for lockdown. I went, oh, I am a NICU mum.
Yeah.
I've been locked down for months. The world will still be there when we come out. Yes. I said, I'm pretty comfortable about this. Yep. He goes, you are. I mean, I'm not happy for the second lockdown, but really, it will pass. That's it will pass because I've lived that and it does pass.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, you do learn little things along the way.
Oh, yeah.
How did you go? Tell us about when you brought him home that day, that night. What?
You know, it's really terrible to say. But
I can't remember. From,
it's a bit of a blur that first year.
Yeah.
And I think it's
been exhausted.
A little bit of exhaustion, a little bit of trauma.
Yes.
A little bit of how much do you really have to go back and dwell? Yeah. Like I'm a look forward person.
Yeah.
And part of my mantra for the last few years has been just enjoy the now.
Yeah.
Because I'm always looking for the next thing.
Yeah.
Maybe the upside is I don't look backwards.
Yep.
So I tend to not
our
dwell.
Brains lock some stuff out.
I think
they do. It was just, look, I had, I had family support. I had a lot of appointments.
Yeah.
Like our weeks were just like,
back to doctor, back to people.
Don't go anywhere with your prem. And then it's like, I'm at that hospital. Yeah. I'm at that hospital. I'm at that hospital.
Yeah.
So it was just constant appointments. Mm. And then the world shifted and he came off oxygen.
Mm.
I do remember going to mother's group when he was, we'd been home a couple of months. So let's say we're into springtime, maybe 3 months. And it's so funny what you think, listening to the other mums.
Yes.
Oh,
their birth trauma because it didn't go to plan. And I'm sitting there going, what the fuck? I just wanted to scream at them.
Yes.
Bless them, but I do appreciate it's their journey.
Like, I know.
We know all that.
I do.
But it's still.
But I just remember sitting there in that moment
so
going,
confronting.
I can't do this.
Yes.
And just skimming over. I had a 23-week, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's there on oxygen, by the way. He's this big in the room.
Yeah.
You know? He's got hearing aids in already because we knew that.
Yeah.
You know, it was, interesting times. Some of those things were really hard because people are rectums.
They really are.
Rectums.
And, you're in your own world.
When
you had a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone deserves their story.
They do.
And it is their moment. And birth is traumatic lots of times. It's not, you know, all hypnobirthing and beautiful. But you can maybe not, you can maybe let someone else tell their story because how many times when you have, well, for me, I had a full term first baby. I don't know how many people I told that birth story to. Hundreds. I'll tell anyone.
And quite frankly, it's really disinteresting.
It is really disinteresting.
Super boring, Kate.
Super boring. But you're just like, this happened. My baby, my body expelled a baby. Like it's the first birth that's happened
to. So cliche.
So you can choose your moment. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You've got other people to tell.
Yeah.
So if someone turns up at your mum's group,
And they've had a micro-prem.
Yeah.
Oh, look, you know, honestly, I don't...
Just, you're allowed to tell your story, but maybe really be aware
of
them.
Just need to be aware, I
think. Yeah, because sometimes they've been through real trauma.
Yeah, just be kind.
Not just, I ended up getting the epidural even though I thought I wasn't.
Yeah.
Sorry to laugh at you.
Sorry. We're laughing at ourselves.
I know. Well, not me.
No, not you. I've only had an epidural for a cesarean, so, you know.
You went the whole hog.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. Anyway, you didn't stick it out with the mother's group?
No, I did. You know, ironically, I've made a couple of really great friends.
Oh, yeah, see? Yeah.
And one is another mum who had a 32-weeker.
Yes. Yeah. So you at least found someone that had something.
Yes.
Not the same.
Yes. No, but something. Some similarities. You know, they got that lived experience.
Yeah. Makes a difference.
And, I've made a couple of nice friends out of mother's group.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been there. You know how you've got no friends for your kid when you turn one?
Yeah.
You know, all of them came to his first.
Yes, it's true.
They're all in the pictures.
Yes, of course.
So it's really sweet.
Yeah.
And I did do a big family and friends, my family and friends celebration for his first birthday.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
There was no celebrating the birth. So we did a nice big first birthday and raised money and donated it to the hospital and stuff.
Oh, no.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we sort of, I don't know how we just got to one. The days keep turning up every day.
And, yeah.
You know, they just tick over.
Well, it's busy.
Yeah.
Looking after a baby.
Yeah. And then I was back to work. It was so.
Yeah. And so what'd you do? Did you put him in care?
I had him in childcare. I don't know what I was thinking. Put him in childcare 2 days a week and my mum had him 1 day a week.
Yeah. Awesome.
Lovely. And the minute he got to childcare, he was just sick.
Yeah.
A dog. Sick. So obviously leaving with a micro-prem, you get told, we're going to see you a lot at hospital. And you go, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
We did have a couple of readmissions. He got the really nasty respiratory virus, RSV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember sitting at home and he was really sick and I was at work and I came home. Mum said, Nicole, I really don't think he's that well.
Mm.
And I looked at him and was like, oh, his breathing's not great. He's a bit recessed, Just went to the GP.
Mm.
The GP took one look and checked his oxygen. I went, you've got to go to emergency immediately. So that call, I think we got about a week in hospital that time. And they did the test and then said, oh, it's actually RSV. Now, he was immunised against that.
Right.
So thank God.
Yeah.
Because if he hadn't had that, I hate to think.
Yeah.
And then he, what else did we have in hospital? I think when he was about four, we had tonsils and adenoids out.
Mm. Right.
Didn't get the adenoids, had to go back in again just to do that another trip. Both of those ended us up in ICU. So just overnight. It's like,
But still.
But still, here we are again.
Yeah. And then really, touch wood, we haven't had a lot of hospital admissions since then. We've been really lucky.
Yeah, he's well.
He's really well. He's really well.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
What about the CP diagnosis? When did that come?
Right. So as I said, failed the hearing test in hospital.
That's right.
So we knew that straight away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which ironically, I was devastated. I was like,
oh, well,
I don't know how to. I don't know sign language. What am I going to do?
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. And it's the least of my worries.
Yes.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, I've got to put batteries in those things. Hang on.
Yeah.
And off we go.
Hey, like, but you don't know that
it's
at the time.
No, and I didn't know there was anything else coming.
No,
at this point.
That's right.
When we were
I feel like that sometimes.
Do
I didn't
you?
Know about the intellectual disability. So
yes.
I was devastated about the cerebral palsy. And,
you know, there was more coming.
There was more coming. And I just,
yes.
you only are living with what you're in at the time.
Yes. I think with prematurity, it's the gift that keeps giving.
Yes.
Because we've had since many diagnoses since then.
Yeah.
And so I think the CP one hit, well, deafness and CP hit pretty big. But, you know, he sat with a corrected age, he crawled, he did a lot of things.
And did you have lots of physio?
Nope, we got nothing.
Nothing.
So because, no, we got nothing. We had a little physio and that was it.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately the ped that we were seeing at the time kept saying, he's just a microprem, give him more time.
Yes.
He just needs more time.
Right.
And even, I think we were on maybe, let's say, quarterly visits by then. And I sat there and went, are you sure it's not cerebral palsy? A physio had written a letter to suggest his hands were a certain way.
Right.
She thought that could be cerebral palsy. He was totally dismissive. Just a microprem. Look at what he's doing. He'll be fine.
Right.
3 months later, I sat in front of him and he went, well, he's turned three now. It looks like it's cerebral palsy.
Oh.
And I just burst into tears.
Super late.
I just went, what?
And the way they say it as well.
What?
Like,
yeah.
Like it's just an offhand, oh, here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I probably skipped it. When he was in NICU and not meant to make it with the bowel, he actually had brain bleeds that night.
Yes. Right.
So when we left NICU, the MRIs had shown the brain bleeds, but they were resolved is what I was told.
Right.
So no indication that there would be any cerebral palsy ID, nothing. You know, it was like they look like they haven't impacted white matter.
Yeah.
Right.
You should be good to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hence up to three, that's what I had in my head. Yes. We should be good to go. But why can't he stand up and walk? Yes. Why is he like a wobble board?
Yes.
No. And
three is so old.
That's what we got at three.
Yeah.
And then we tried to get into the place in Melbourne that's really great with CP. And they looked at him and went, oh, he's pretty good. And they didn't enroll us that year. So he started early intervention at four.
Wow.
Yeah, which is not early.
No. And so that's, you know, we all have our little regrets.
Yeah.
That's a moment that I think, oh, my God, what if he had had intervention earlier? What would he be like physically? Would he have spoken earlier? So, you know, we weren't talking, we weren't walking, you know, la, 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 la. Could that have really been different for him?
Yeah, well, you not your fault.
Know.
You were guided by people who didn't guide you.
No, look. I think.
So did you get back, you got back into CPEC though?
Yeah, we did. And we did early intervention then for a few years.
So that's a cerebral palsy education centre.
Yes.
So there's one here in Melbourne and there's one in Hungary. Is that right?
I think it's based, the theory is based from Hungary. Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
So like it's a unique place
because
there's not many of them in the world.
Yeah, they do a unique therapy. And then we started Napa. I know there's some Napa families that listen.
Yes.
So hi, Napa.
Yes. So I want to hear all about it.
And we did Napa and we've been doing Napa as well. We still see a little bit of CPEC as well, so we do both.
Yeah.
I'm coming to that point where he's getting tricky at 11.
So what does explain what Napa is as well?
So I can't even tell you what that stands for, but it's neurological blah 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 habilitation center. They've got a they're American based.
Yes.
And they have a Sydney office. And again, that's my only other regret. I thought of packing him up and going to LA and doing it there. But it would have been like $15,000.
Yes, I remember people
3 weeks in
talking about people do it, don't they?
They do it.
Yeah.
What if it doesn't work?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And you're opening in Sydney. I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
So we got into the Sydney clinic pretty much as they opened.
Yeah, amazing.
And we have been going up once a year for a 3 week intensive.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've done a couple of 1 week top ups when we can get up there.
Yeah.
But they're now going to open in
Melbourne.
So that is honestly, people, if you've got young prems out there, cerebral palsy, any neurological genetic conditions,
get in.
It is the most amazing therapy.
Tell us. Tell us what it is.
Just very holistic.
Mm.
And they've got everything that you need there. So whether it's speech, OT, physio. But the OT and the physio is based on a model called CME. And again, I'm going to say South American type theory on movement.
Right.
And they get the kids up weight bearing in bungee cords.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they get them walking on a treadmill. Mm. These are wheelchair bound children. And, you know, it's an amazing strength conditioning.
Right.
The speech, we haven't accessed there, but I've heard people say it's great. We use prompt speech, and I'm a big advocate of prompt, which is literally getting the mouth and the muscles working.
Right.
So my son has hypertonic cerebral palsy, which is the core. So sort of from the nose down.
Right.
It's all, you know, a bit wonky shonky.
Yeah.
And that's really impacted his speech. The irony of the situation is people see the hearing aids and they think, oh, he's deaf.
Yeah.
It's not the deafness, it's the CP.
Yes.
But I think he's getting clearer. Yeah. I don't, can you understand him, Mandy, when he talks?
I can.
Yeah. Okay. He's getting, the clarity's coming.
Yes.
He's certainly learning some good swear words.
Yeah. That's what counts.
It is what counts.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yep. They get me through bad days swearing. So.
No, no.
Therapy.
Yeah.
I know. I was telling Kate, I've instigated the get your shits out.
Yeah, tell us. Tell us.
And he loves it. He's like, can I really just sit here and say it? And I go, yep.
Yes.
Idiot, stupid.
Yep. There's nothing like getting your shits out.
That's right.
Very cute. Mum, can you teach me some other swear words?
No. But you know what? I will, actually. Because it's amazing you can talk.
And you know how to use them.
In context.
And you understand how therapeutic they are
for
you. So what a win.
Beautiful.
I know. Yep. I know. Yep. I still remember hearing mum for the first time. I think it was about four or five.
Oh,
I think it was so late. And I didn't know if he'd ever speak, because also with his hearing loss, he's got a unique type of hearing loss.
Oh, right.
And that 30% of those kids never speak.
Okay.
So there's multiple reasons why he should be quiet.
Yes.
Bless him, he's not.
Oh, he talks a lot.
He talks, he's got a lot to say.
Yeah, he does have a lot to say.
He's got a lot to say. To anyone who will listen, he thinks he's really funny.
Oh.
And so, you know, not even that, just hearing him speak words.
Oh.
And I can look at videos of him at about three or four and prattling.
Yeah.
Now, back then I could understand him.
Yeah, of course you can.
And I listen to one now and I go, it's a foreign language.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't tell you what he was saying.
Yeah.
But, so he's walking, he's talking.
He walked into school with a walker, didn't he?
He had a little fire truck
engine.
Walker that my mum made a beautiful little red skirt to go on it.
Cute.
So he had that into, foundation, foundation and grade one. And then the school kept reporting that Lolly Legs' walker was over in the sandpit, but he was back in the classroom. And I just thought, okay, that needs to go.
Yeah.
And I just took it off him. I just said, well, you don't need it anymore. Off you go, buddy. And he's like, oh, okay then.
Amazing.
You know, as you would know, you have your tumbles, you have your falls.
Yep.
Haven't broken any bones yet.
Yeah.
And look, he now runs.
Yes.
He looks a bit like Forrest Gump, bless
him. That's
okay.
No.
He runs.
He does.
Running.
He does
watching
little
him run 100 metres, as Mandy will attest.
Amazing.
Floods of tears
of
watching
course.
Him run 100 metres.
Oh.
It's just an amazing thing that his body can do it.
It is.
So, you know, I do grateful. I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Just so grateful.
What a guy.
There's been, you know, gosh. Yeah.
Tell us about school. Tell us about starting school. What was that like?
Look, I think one of the things with microprems and kids with multiple disabilities, which is probably what my son sits under, the socialisation side is really hard.
Mm.
And the walker was great because kids were curious.
Yes.
But then kids would nick it and think it was a toy.
Yes.
So, and he could also hurt people with it, not intentionally, but like just running at them. And I tell you what, if it hit you in the shin,
yeah,
the left didn't.
Yeah.
So, socially has been really hard at school. And we all, what would we say? You just want your kid to have a couple of mates, don't you?
Yep.
That's
just
it.
One will do.
A couple of mates.
Yep.
And he has got a mate, and that's great.
Yep.
But, you know, the lack of inclusion from, the school
everybody.
System,
yeah.
or many, many layers, it's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
I do feel that people could be more open to including these kids.
Yeah.
And
100%.
I don't think it would ask
much
to
say,
you're welcome to stay, but we'd love to have him come along to so-and-so's party.
Yeah. Has he been invited to parties?
Yeah. Only this one kid. Yeah.
That's shit.
Yeah.
It is shit. It makes me cry because we went through that. And that's not the only reason it makes me cry, but I just think, what the fuck is wrong with people?
I don't know.
You've got this.
If he's in your child's class,
invite him.
I know. And even the first year in prep, I invited the whole class
of
to
course.
His
Of course
so
you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Okay, given it was just at Macca's, which is maybe
no, it doesn't. Not just at any
excuse. That's all I could do.
No, it's a party.
But he just got nothing back.
Yeah,
that's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
So,
and I'm looking at you, Rectum parents. Yeah. I am looking and judging. Don't think I can accept no excuses.
No,
I'm over it.
No, I'm over it too.
Yeah.
So look, we have a couple of friends. I have a couple of friends that had little boys.
Yep.
Within a year after me,
yeah,
all geriatrics that we are, and the boys have a great time. So there's a little gang of three.
Yep.
So outside of that school environment, we've got a lovely little group, and we holiday together. And, you know, it's really fantastic. Nice.
Yeah.
As I said, he has got a mate at school, but it's a little bit disappointing. Look, everyone's kind,
and but it's not the truthful everyone knows friendship. Him, yeah,
but I just think a lot of parents need to.
Well, maybe someone has to tell them.
I remember being brought up with don't look at them.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Don't look at them.
Oh, 100% I remember that.
We should be past the don't look at them. And we are about diversity and inclusion. And 100%. If we don't start talking to our children about it and walk the talk, nothing's going to change.
No.
And my son can assimilate in pretty well now if he's just walking next to me without anything. But he's still not included and he talks funny. Like, you know, everywhere we go, kids just stare. Why does he talk like that? People need to educate
their children. Yeah, they do. Because the truth is, you know, if someone else has worked something really hard at something, we applaud them for it. We're like, you're number one under 12s for tennis. You've worked so hard.
Yes.
If someone is learning to talk and communicate at 10, this is an awesome achievement, and the whole school should be like, we want to have that kid over. He's worked so hard. He's so awesome.
And what do they come up with? Shit awards for them, don't they?
Yes, he had some shit awards.
Oh, yeah, we've had some shit awards.
Tell us.
Look, he also started with a communication device. So not only are we in a walker, we've got an AAC communication device as well. But
that's who he is. He's an awesome person with that.
Yes.
You know, enough of saying, oh, but he had this, or but they're noisy.
There was
barriers
or something.
Yeah, but it's not a barrier because I don't think children actually have that many barriers. I think it's we imparted upon them.
Well, not until, you know, they're 8 or 9.
Yeah, like little kids.
I reckon they're good.
They're just all kids.
Prep 1 and 2, they're really good.
I was going to say, I think the earlier years were a lot more accepting and they just hang out in the sandpit.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
But at that point, if someone says, we're having a party and we are inviting this person. So when the sound engineer went through school, he went to a school that only started the year before he started. So his class had 9 boys in prep. And there was a boy in that class that went off to Rossbourne in year 7, had a mild intellectual disability, I think, and ASD. And I just remember the mums all saying, he comes to every party.
Hmm.
And there wasn't an event
that's
beautiful. That child, it just was like this, why would any other way, why would it be any other
way? I think it's because it was smaller.
I think it's because it was
smaller.
In a
grade of 30,
you can exclude.
Yeah, you can exclude.
And then I just think all the kids were beyond accepting. They were just like, oh, we'll do this so that that works for him. And, you know, like, I don't know, it was just amazing.
Mm.
And now I think.
I also want people to know that when they hear your story, you thought he was going to die.
Yes.
Right? So everything he does is a fucking award.
Everything.
Right? And people don't understand that.
No, they
don't. And that's what I want to scream out in this podcast.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd like to scream it out to the education system.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, come on.
That's just.
Tell us what you want to say.
Well, I think I just want to say to any peaches out there.
Yep.
No child with a disability or a diagnosis is non-compliant.
No.
Naughty.
No.
These are words no parent should ever hear.
No.
And I think what broke me was this is grade 2 and a special education teacher spent 6 months just going head to head with my kid and saying every day in front of him, he's not compliant, he's difficult, he's this, he's that. And I'm really angry at myself because it took me a few months before I stopped and went, hang on a minute. hang on a minute, and flipped it and just went, no, I'm not going to speak to my son about those things, and I'm not going to be angry, because what this is a cry for help.
Yeah.
He is struggling. So teachers, these kids are not meaning to be difficult.
Of course not.
And make your life hard. No. They are struggling.
They are.
They can't do the work. No. They're acting out because internally they're freaking out.
Yes, that's right.
And I can't believe in this day and age that we are still experiencing that. So by the end of grade two, I had a broken child who had school refusal, thought he was dumb and an idiot, and couldn't learn. And he started the year with a love of learning. And by the end of grade two, and I am still dealing with that to this day. Mm. That teacher broke him.
Mm.
And that is appalling.
We had that in grade three.
Appalling.
Years later.
I don't know, Kate. Yeah, so that's it, Kate. I'm like, are we going to get through this? Because right now with sparkling remote learning and everything else, he's so resistant. And yet he can learn. He knows fascinating things.
He does.
But isn't that the thing? They're not engaged, so right?
So
these amazing kids are not engaged. So the kids that we applaud are the children that just engage with everything because it's really easy for them and they do it and they run off.
Yep.
And a child who engages in a different way but is brilliant in their own way, they're not compliant.
No.
But then you sit down and talk to them. I remember
he can read books for crying out loud. He's awesome.
Not good at maths though, Mandy.
Well,
nor am I. But
look what it's done to me.
You know,
I look at his reading and think that is amazing.
Yes.
I do. Yeah, he's sitting there with a book.
What a gift.
He's reading shipwreck. It's unbelievable what he reads.
I agree. So I just think that is astounding.
And that's just knowledge. It's just taking in more and more knowledge that you can use down the track.
I'm so proud of his reading. When I see him sitting with a book, I just think, wow.
Yeah. Numbers are overrated.
Totally.
You can use a calculator, I say. Don't worry about it,
gosh.
Son.
We had because we're back doing sparkling remote learning. I must say thank you, Daniel Andrews. We can go to school just as at the moment when we're recording this podcast, Victoria's numbers are quite high. So I'm erring on the side of we're staying home and we're going to get used to wearing masks at home. But yesterday the maths teacher said to the kids, you know, I was watching the class and he said, listen, there are two sorts of maths as you go through life, and there are the sorts of maths that's really hard and you might end up doing those in high school, you know, year 11 and 12 if you want. And for those sort of maths, you need to be able to do this sort of maths that you're doing now without a calculator. 60% of you will not do those sort of maths.
Mm.
So don't stress. Just use your calculator.
Thank you.
You just see the weight lifted because the kids were really smart. They've already done the maths.
I know.
They've moved
on. Like, we did that 3 years ago.
Yeah, and they're ready for the – you know what I mean? And it's just like –
and they shouldn't be punished either.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just permission to use the calculator.
There's so much to say, isn't there? Yeah. You know. Look, I think no one's going to say the education system's great.
No.
There's a lot to fix, but I just think if any teachers are listening and you've got kids that have a diagnosis, please don't label them
non-compliant.
And please at the start of every year, sit down and speak to those parents.
Yes.
Don't assume that you know that child because you've read last year's report.
No.
Tell us about your child.
Yes. What's happened over summer?
Totally.
Yes.
You know? I just think
Teaching's go on what the last year's teacher said in the staff room.
Yes.
Give the child a chance.
Yeah, they need to step up a bit more.
That's why actually Shane told me to do that. So every year of school I have met with the school before school goes back.
Mm. Yes. Well, I've tried.
It's brutal and I was in the private system so they probably couldn't tell me no. But I was like, I would just say, these are my 3 mornings that I can be there.
Yeah.
And I knew they were rolling their eyes, but I don't care.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was actually at the end, every teacher was like, oh, this was great.
Yeah. What a surprise.
Yes. Yeah. Because I'm a nice person. I'll take them chocolates.
Tell us about your advocating wins.
Look, I think.
Because you're good at it.
Well, apparently. I'm now to the point where, yes, I don't care about who
not,
I step on.
They're not your friends.
Yeah. Because, you know what, they're a blip in my life.
Yeah.
And I think if you're starting out at school, and I know I'm only a few years in and these lovely ladies are ahead
still,
of me.
No.
But I would say I should have trusted my gut and I should have got him out of there.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not the right culture and fish.
Yeah.
And I haven't. Mm. So I think trust your gut and go. I've never heard of anyone leave a school and say that was a bad decision. Mm.
That's so true.
Yeah.
True.
Everyone says that was the best thing. Yes. I didn't undo it. Mm. And I think also just keep knocking on the doors, keep sending the emails, because I now know I'm the one that's got to live with my son for the rest of my life, however that may be.
Yeah.
These teachers or school community, you know what? They get a new group of kids every year. Yep. They come and they go.
Yeah.
Yep. And the teachers come and go.
Yeah.
And they can really impact on your kid, as I've now seen.
Hugely.
So I advocate to anyone who'll listen to me in the regional education department for therapy, NDIS, you know, another little fun game to play. So there's many, many layers, as you both know, having kids like this. And I just think as long as I know I've put my best foot forward and that's all I can keep doing, and I'm always grateful because he's in great shape and I'm lucky. But nobody is ever going to sort of, you know, stare me down or intimidate me.
No.
If I've got something that is valid to say about my son, I will share it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't make them listen. That's the part I haven't figured out yet, ladies. So if you can help me with that,
I don't know.
I'd love it.
Because we can only do what we can do.
Well, I think your podcast is helping people who haven't thought
further
about it. I really do.
Because when we're in the classroom and I'm there advocating for my children, or you guys are, sometimes we might be brash, or we might cry, or we might, you know, say things that we don't mean. But maybe when they listen to the podcast and they just hear the story of school, they're like,
and hear the story of Lolly Legs' life.
Mm. Yes. It's not just grade 2 that this happens. It also happens in grade 7 and grade 4. And it's not just one year of this child's life. It's every year.
Mm. Yeah.
And, the education system, I don't blame teachers. I just blame the education system, because it needs more support.
Mm.
You know, we've decided that we're an inclusive education system. Yay. Then we have schools that you can't access because there's heaps of steps.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, hang on. That's not inclusive. It's just mind-blowing.
We only fund certain children. So kid doesn't fit the box.
Yep.
I'm just sick of the boxes.
Yeah.
Just get rid of the boxes.
And NDIS was supposed to be box crushing, and it's actually more boxes.
Tell us about NDIS, because you have done a great job.
What am I on now? 3 years?
3 years.
3 year package.
Yeah.
It gets better. I get better at it.
Yeah,
I don't
find
it too stressful
now. You're good at it.
I self-manage.
Yeah.
I like the freedom of that. Look, is there rectums in NDIS? Yes, there is.
Mm.
We've been through a couple of LACs because they've moved on, by the way. Nothing. We didn't break them.
Yeah.
But I think that NDIS is a system. I remember the first time I had to register and say, family tech, I've sent a link, hello.
Yeah.
Never accessed it before.
Yes.
That was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can I get the carers payment?
Yeah.
You know, like any government bureaucracy, education system included.
Yes, you're so
it's
right.
It's just not easy. They're all the same. And I don't want to tarnish them all with the same brush, but as a user of you all, get your shit together.
Yeah.
It's not seamless. It's not customer focused.
No.
And I don't know, Mandy, I just do it. Like, you just got to do it. And the hard part, this is where the sole parenting comes in, because I don't even have someone to handball and go, can you go?
No, you don't. No.
Can you front up to that? Can you just deal with this? So it is a lot. And to other sole parents out there, you know, you just bite off every little bit you can each day.
Mm.
You don't have to do it all in one mouthful, I suppose. And just take the chunks to get what your kid needs.
Yeah.
Because it is hard, and you do feel like there's just barriers.
Yeah.
You know? There's just barriers. But ultimately, NDIS has been able to provide therapy for Luke. I'd run out of money.
Yes.
Like, I just hadn't.
Yes.
I had nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, we would only have been living on whatever therapy was given to us via the government.
Yes.
So NDIS has elevated that.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful for them as well. So it's provided, we have a little bit of support worker hours now.
Yeah.
Which we didn't initially, I got onto that. You know, we've got support worker hours and the therapy.
That's life changing when you're
therapy. He wouldn't be, I'm sure he wouldn't be in the shape he is without therapy, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I couldn't have afforded all of that the last few years. So I am grateful.
Yeah, I'm grateful for NDIS too.
They could make it easier.
It's rough. It's a rough process.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's look, I just get the reports. It's like I go onto autopilot. Yeah. And I go, right, the review's due then. I'm going to ask for reports 3 months out. Yeah. Bang, bang, bang. They're ready to go. I
turn I'm better up, at that now
I give
too.
Them a folder.
Yep.
Say, how's your father? This is what I want. See you later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Get out of there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Show me the money.
Show me the portal, baby.
Show me the money.
Too funny.
Oh, goodness me. And you work.
I do. I work, ironically, I teach everybody. But I teach in vocational. So I started in higher ed in a university and then I went to vocational. And I did want to say to everyone, I love vocational education. Yeah. I love what it can offer our peers. Yeah. It's a really supportive, well structured, funded department system.
Awesome.
If you're in the right course. Now, I agree there's courses that aren't going to suit everybody.
Yeah.
But if your pea shoot, like mine, is never going to be going to university, probably not even going to complete VCE, there is many, many pathways.
Yes.
And it can still give them really valid, interesting careers.
Meaningful. Mm.
Yes. Yep. Meaningful. Like you just want your kids to be happy, don't you? Like at the end of the day, it's that simple. I want you to be happy, whatever your happiness looks like, and successful in that bubble.
Yep. So the tip is finding the right course within that. You think the right course is the difference.
There's so many courses on offer. You can, like, it's amazing what's there.
Yeah.
So, and then there's even a lot of free ones at the moment, but it's just that you can get so much support in class, whether it's that you're blind or hearing impaired. We've got all of these inclusive practices.
Right.
Do you need a scribe? Oh. Do you need whatever? We record things because you might need to go back and listen to it later.
Yes. Fantastic.
There's just so much available. If you go through the right channels, I'm pretty sure most institutions have got all of this in place.
Mm.
And then, you know what, for the kids that don't go on to tertiary education, that's fine.
That's right.
It certainly doesn't make you happier or a better person.
No, it doesn't.
Education does not do that for you.
No.
You know? So I think for me, looking forward, I just hope we get through school as quickly as possible.
Yes.
I just want the school bit done.
Yeah.
Not that I want to see, I look forward. I don't want to wish the time away.
No,
but,
you know, you don't want to wish him and time away. You just, I mean, I feel similar in that I just. It'll be a relief to kind of not have to fit into that box that she doesn't fit into.
Yes, it's hard. School is just full of boxes.
And we don't know what the future is. And people with older pea shoots are like, you don't know what's coming.
But no.
We don't.
Well, we've got puberty coming. God help
us. Yes.
That's another little roller coaster. You two laugh at me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, it's only because we can't really talk about it.
We can't talk about it. But but we can laugh.
We really.
No. I'm laughing with you a little bit around the edges going, oh, my God, what's coming? It's like a freight train coming at me, I think.
Yes, yes.
But that's
I don't know. For me, with all of my children, with all their different life journey, it's a really amazing time because they become little adults with their own opinions, not just having a tantrum about not wanting to wear something, actually, you know, thinking really differently to you as they go. I find that sort of starts around puberty, and we're all different with different children. And I think we are scared of it because it's hormonal, but it's actually been hysterical for us with the boys. It's been so fun. I can't talk about it.
I know, we can't.
I can't tell you the joy that it's brought them and us.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just want to say, you might find your pea shoots really embrace it.
Yeah.
And that's really actually empowering and uplifting. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. That's all I'll say.
It kind of is.
Yeah. It is. Anyway.
Can't stop it.
You know.
No.
When they're 25, I'll ask for their permission to tell the story.
I hope you're keeping them all in that little black book.
Oh, we can't forget.
Yeah.
No. God. Oh, dear. Anyway.
Have we missed anything?
No. Look, I don't think you think. Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh.
I just wish that people would embrace the kids that are a little bit different.
That's all we want.
You know, that's probably
that is literally what we want.
Yeah. Mm. You know, celebrate the differences and that's everyone in and out of life, schools, work, everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, workplaces need to include people a lot better as well, which will come at us in 10 years' time.
Yes. Mm.
So I think as a society we've got a long way to go, but I'm hopeful. Like, you know, I think there's some change underfoot. I think there's more awareness.
I think so.
So we just got to keep pushing the barrow.
Keep reminding people not to be dicks.
Yeah, that's right.
Rectums. Yep, there's rectums everywhere.
Yep, there really
are. Thank you for being a great friend to me. through this primary school time. Miss Nine's been in Lolly Legs' class a couple of times.
She has.
And, yeah, just thanks for listening to me being a rectum to you sometimes.
We're all somebody's
rectum. Because we're all someone's rectum.
I know. We've all done it.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sorry for the times if I've said stupid shit to you. But thank you.
I'll just get that list down.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having patience with me and and just cheering me on and especially cheering us on with the podcast. And,
yes.
You know,
the podcast is awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We know we could ask you 100 more things. Mm. We're going to take some photos because you've brought a beautiful doll. Tell us about the doll quickly.
Brought in a little model. So when Lolly Legs was born, as I said, tiny, tiny, and I think just to try and remember it, you could order premature dolls.
Yes.
So you sent in the dimensions and the weight and the da-da-da-da-da. And we have a little baby doll, which is quite confronting. You know, the head's, I don't know, maybe the size of an apple, small apple. Yeah. Anyway, it is little, but it's for him. So when he grows up, he can look back. Because initially he looks at it and thinks all babies are like that.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know what? Actually, no, more babies are like this.
Yes.
So for him, it was just to help him understand his journey. Because like you get, why did this happen? Yes. And I hate CP and I hate this and I hate that.
Yep. Yes.
So I would just try and look for ways to help him accept.
Understand it.
And this is why it happened and, you know, all the tears of why couldn't I stay in your belly longer and la, 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 la. So, that's the little baby Lolly Legs.
And it's on
the
a beautiful table. Blanket.
So when you hit 100 days in NICU, I don't know if they do this all around Australia, but certainly at the Mercy there's just beautiful women who knit little hats and make quilts, and I got to pick a 100-day-old quilt.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So I have kept that. And he has got a little box of mementos and, you know, the tiny little
The dummies and
tags and the dummies, all the little things
you
that
must
he's got
keep
just
those.
To appreciate how small he was.
Yes.
But they grow, apparently. You feed them and they grow.
Yes.
You know, he's got his ISO tummy happening now.
He's fine. I haven't said that to Molly. I was like, wow.
We're all fattening the curve.
Fattening the curve. I'm just like, I don't recognise that stomach.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, it is good.
I feel the same way when I look at myself.
Yeah, well, me too.
I've just stopped looking at myself. Yeah. There's time for that.
we'll take a photo of that little doll and maybe try and I wonder if the company's still around or that make the dolls.
I don't know. I found it online, so I'm not sure. Yeah. And I did recommend it to someone a while ago because they were looking for a memento. Yes. It sounds silly, but a reminder of how
I remember looking at ordering them and I just never did.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure if she's still making them because they're made in Australia. But certainly when you look at a picture, you can't tell.
No, you can't tell.
It's just you need that context of
even just feeling it is fascinating.
I mean, certainly, you know, that the baby Lolly Legs has gone into class a couple of times so that the kids could understand why he has the issues that he has because he was born so early.
That's
right. Yeah, so it's been a good tool to hopefully try and educate kids as well.
It's so precious too.
Love it. Done an excellent job.
You really have.
I'm proud to know you.
Yeah. Oh, bless you.
We're going to do our cry, make a difference laugh.
Would you like to do that or would you like to just listen? You can
I've gave it some thought overnight.
Good,
Mandy
good.
Prepped me so I can do it.
All right. Well, would you like to go first with anything that made you cry?
Actually, quick one. Yes. I watched the Four Corners episode of COVID initially and I bawled my eyes out.
We have to watch that. Our editor said to watch it. Yeah.
God, I just, it's so, so sad. So for any of you out there who are non-believers, please go and watch that show.
Yes, it's real. COVID's
real. It's awful and it's heartbreaking. So that was my cry this week.
Yeah. We must watch that.
Yeah, I've heard it's really powerful. So what about you, Mandy? Anything?
I haven't cried, but was a little bit emotional. My dad and my Uncle Gary, so those twins are in that episode.
Yes.
Are turning 70 this Saturday and we had a party planned, but of course that's been cancelled. Yep. And actually Uncle Gary's in hospital with an infection and then my dad had to go to hospital with an eye. He's got burst blood vessels in his eye. And I just thought, what are the chances of these two both being in hospital for their 70th birthday? Pretty robust prem twins.
Yeah.
And
no one can visit them.
Dad went to try and visit Uncle Gary. He wasn't allowed in.
Yep.
So that's, you know, everyone's got their disappointing story, but I really wanted to celebrate their 70th together.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And, I just shout out to them both.
Yeah.
You know, and hope they get well. So, that's it. What about your cry?
Oh, yeah. So I haven't had a really, really teary week, but
This sounds ridiculous, but it made me a bit teary. Someone gave a donation to Acast supporter and said this was for White Wine Wednesday. Oh. And she's like, I'm getting on board White Wine Wednesday.
Oh, that
and
is
I
fun.
Just think during ISO, I know. Some kindness like that. Yes, I don't know. Because,
it goes a long way.
You know, we talk into these microphones and then off it goes and you don't know.
I know. We don't know who's listening.
And so, you know, I'm not – my thing is I don't drink on school nights. So technically it's not school. Let's so White Wine Wednesday is fine.
Yes, it sure is.
So that's why you're not sending the boys back.
That's why.
I can't drive in the morning. Oh, dear. Oh, what about make a difference, Nicole?
Oh, my make a difference is actually, thank you, government, I am sending my son 4 days a week.
Yes.
I work 4 days a week, so yes. Trying to remote learn plus teach my
yes.
own students.
Yes. It's been
– I'm so happy for
so
you.
That is my make a difference. So let's yes. hope we don't go into further lockdown.
Yes, yes. Let's hope we don't. Yes. Because it's – and it makes has made a huge difference. Difference.
Huge
And I'm
difference.
Here today. I can speak yes. to you in the yes. day and night. Like, makes such a difference.
Yes. It's been – yeah, I'm yeah. very, very grateful to the government.
Good
yeah.
on you. Mm. Mine, okay, I got my two-piece tracksuit pants.
Woohoo! They're yes. very fluffy.
They've been very comfortable.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
not a huge fan. I have worn mine.
I didn't wear them today. I thought I better get dressed up. My friend Sue, her daughter Stephanie's been making masks. Now she's nearly 15.
Yeah.
And she's just been
oh yeah,
working like a machine.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I just bought them off her. Then I said to her, can we have one maybe because I don't know how Darren's going to – he's like, I can't wear them around my ears because of my hearing aids.
Yeah, you need to have the tie.
So she's going to do one with a tie. Then he's like, oh, don't worry. I'll just wear something else. I was like, okay.
Let's just see. You might need one after 5 weeks.
Yeah, and what else did I want to say? It made a difference. No, they were the two main yep. things. And just, I suppose, starting to wear a mask.
Yeah.
That's a difference.
It's a big difference.
And I was at Aldi. I wrote it in the Hangout. I could hardly breathe when they're throwing the food at me.
Yeah, it's hard when you're
and
working.
And then I'm thinking, well, this is really a moment, Mandy, to understand how people that live with breathing difficulties.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
stop complaining. I wasn't complaining, but it was a realisation.
Mm. No, it is. It has been a realisation.
I'm seriously triggered by looking at masks because of The Handmaid's Tale. I can't tell you. I am. I just that show, and every time they'd put a handmaid with a mask on who had their tongues cut out, and now everyone around the world's wearing them. It's just awful, and I need to say this because no one's saying it. Yeah. Am I the only one that watched The Handmaid's Tale and is traumatised?
No, other people said it when you said it in the Hangout, I think.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you've said it somewhere, and then people have – no, maybe it was Akka. Maybe it was
anyway,
Akka
anyway. But I'm going to do it, and of course I am.
We're doing it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it is hard when you're working because we've been doing it already at work. And like when you're moving furniture and stuff, they get wet quite quickly. You need to replace them. It's hot. But I just think, you know what? I think being in ICU is pretty uncomfortable. So
yeah, totally.
I don't even. And the work boys, no one's given a shit. Like no one said,
we're just in.
We don't want to do this. Or no.
We're just doing it.
No, we see those numbers and we support the mask wearing. So my make a difference is also about masks. Tammy, who listens to the podcast, who's a pea friend from Warrnambool, who sews. That's her amazing gift. And she sent us up some, which was so nice. And they came really quickly.
Oh.
And it was just so lovely,
you know? Thoughtful.
Yeah. And then my friend Claire, her daughter Millie's made some too. So now I've got like a stack at the front door because, you know, there's a lot of us.
There is a lot of you. Yeah. You need a lot.
So, you know, we've got some of the disposable ones. But I just think that, we're not going to be able to get them. They're going to be bad for the environment. I think they've sold out everywhere.
Although I had them around time getting caught in my hair. I was like, ah!
Yeah, so anyway.
Laugh. What made you laugh, Nick?
Okay, well, on the COVID theme, I had a cold last week, so I went and got the test.
Yes.
So, of course, I kept saying to Lolly Legs, no, can't kiss you. And, of course, the more you say can't kiss you, what do they want?
Yes.
So he turned around the other day and said to me, when you're dead, I'm going to dig up your bones. And when I die, I'm going to be placed on top of your bones with my lips touching your lips. And I was like, ooh. And I didn't have the heart to tell him I would be just bones. So bless him.
Oh,
yes. That's how we're going to end up for eternity.
Yeah. You are.
Look at that
kissing.
Vision.
Oh, yeah.
That lovely.
Is beautiful definition of pea shoot laughter.
It really is.
Oh, that is is fantastic. Oh. You go, Kate?
Okay. I've got a couple of laughs. The first one is...
I think some of those might be the same.
That we had this amazing doctor that keeps emailing us from the Royal Children's and we love him.
Yes.
He's the one that calls himself the poo-fessional. And then he drew us in our colours. I'll put it up on our socials. Actually, what's inside your rectum, and it's got like these cushions to stop, what did he say? It's to stop a fart becoming a shart. And he drew them in the pea colours. He goes, just so you know what it's like as an outer rectum.
Thank you.
And
I just wrote back to Kate, I don't know what to say.
He makes me laugh and laugh and laugh. So, yeah, that made me laugh. And the other thing that made me laugh, I've got two, was Woody said to me the other day, have you heard of the movie Top Gun? I'm like, yeah, I've heard of the movie Top Gun. He's like, I think I might watch it. Oh. I was like, okay. So he watched it and was like really transfixed and I was doing stuff. And then I said to him later on in the day, oh, so did you like it? He's like, yeah. I was like, what did you think of Maverick? He goes, what? I just like the Jets. I was exactly his age when I watched it and I was about Tom Cruise. Yeah. He could give two shits about that storyline. There's Jets doing loops in that movie, well, fair which is enough. True. And then lastly, and this made me roar, we've put new bunk beds in the – not bunk beds, high beds in the twins' room. Give them more room underneath. They can have a bean bag and like a little cubby area each. And it's been a big transition. We've done it. And I got the work boys to come and build the beds. So, of course, we had to like shut the door of their room. They've got a door to the deck on their outside of their room.
Yeah.
So we could open it up. They could build it, you know, because we're an ISO, build the beds. And then the work boys were out on the deck and Buzz came in to look at them. And one of the work boys said, oh, how do you know whose bed's which? And Buzz goes, oh, it's easy. I'm just going to write on the end, little dick, big dick.
Okay.
And that was the response from everyone. And now the work boys are like, so little dick, how's his bed going? Like, we can't keep calling them this. Okay. Anyway, that's what life's like here.
Oh my God, that is fantastic. Okay, well, I'm laughing at today. Molly went to school for a day and then she was quite agitated. So I said she could stay home. Then, and I was waiting to talk to Darren about that, but I said, look, we'll think about maybe if you stay home. So then Darren says to her, okay, so what's happening? We need to give it another try. And she said, Mum said, scrap it. Scrap it.
It does sound like the sort of thing you'd say.
I know, kind of. It's the way she moves her hand too. Nah, Mum said scrap it. We all roared with laughter. Oh, gosh. But the other thing I laughed at was Hamish and his sheepy cake.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
If you don't follow Hamish Blake on Instagram,
do it. Go and do it. So whenever his kids have a birthday, he makes the cake that they want and it takes him all night.
But he always does it the night before.
Yeah.
Never a week before.
No, the night before and he drinks.
And he does his story till like 3 a.m.
Yeah. And so I just watched Ollie One go the next day, but I was crying with laughter.
So funny.
Because he's like, you know, she wanted a, you know, unicorn and I was going to do all this, but now she just wants her sleep toy. Like her stupid little sheepy. Not stupid.
Yeah, and it's all very loved.
It's very kind of manky.
No beans in it anymore.
Anyway, he did it.
His cakes are amazing.
His cakes.
Yes. And they're my favourite. I screenshotted it where he said, because he couldn't make the head round. And he's like, thanks for all your advice about cake pops, but I'm just too drunk to understand what you're saying.
I just wanted to say to him, have a few more kids because this needs to go for years.
Oh, years.
Like I could do with a few once every couple of months or something,
I think during isolation, Hamish, we should be able to
you know, message him a group once a month and go, this is what cake you need to build us because we need a little lift.
We do, honestly. So funny. Go back and find it. Oh, it's in his stories. It might have gone.
But just follow him because his son will have a birthday at some point and he'll do it again. So anyway, thank you for listening, Peas.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
Rate, review. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, see you next week. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.